Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So now, who are you created in? Whose image? We want to look at that today. Again, nothing new. Again, this is something that stirred in me by listening and just kind of reviewing some of these things with the kingdomship and understanding our authority. Then we had a Thursday Bible study, and we were going around in some areas and landed upon a couple of scriptures and a couple of verses and reading some footnotes and whatnot. And it was like, yes, yes, I think we got the message for Sunday. And it's this. What are you reflecting? What are you reflecting? And so it hits me differently than you, I know, okay? But maybe, Lord, I just pray that it comes out, Father God, in a way that brings all of us into that realization of who we are reflecting. So that, Lord, we are doing the right thing, reflecting the right person or the right entity. Amen? John. I think it's helped me feeding off of John last week. He had a wonderful message on stepping and stomping on the devil, you know, and bruising the heel, but yet, you know, what was accomplished by the death of Jesus, and that was foretold back in Genesis. Everything that we're living and going through, even in the New Testament, it all flows back to the beginning. And getting an understanding of the beginning, what God had said and what God had put into place. And so I think it kind of sprung off of John's message, off a little bit of Miles, a little bit of our Thursday, and all of a sudden we got like a potpourri of a message, you know, as far as things happen. Amen! And that's God working. And I don't know, as I was looking, I thought, I don't know, maybe John has shared some of these scriptures and it might be a repeat, but that's okay. People are excited when their sports team has a three-peat or a four-peat or a five-peat. It just means they went to the national thing again and they won. And I want to encourage you that you're winners, amen? Do you believe you're a winner? Do you believe you're winning in this life? And I know we go through a lot of junk. Junk is life. Life is junk, amen? But holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the earth is full of His glory. I look around and I see the craziness, but I also see my Father in heaven. Amen. So Genesis 1:26 to 1:27, and it says, what are we reflecting? So it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Amplified would bring that out, our image. What's He talking about, our image? Well, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing, even that little 5-inch or 12-inch little snake that's full grown that these guys came across in northern Wisconsin. It was only like this and about that, but it was full grown. It was like, that was mature. Those are the kind of snakes I can handle. But have dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, we could look at sometimes, and there's, you know, when I was growing up, I saw some two-legged creepy people. Was that just me? But creeps over anything that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. We came across this scripture on Thursday. I said, so that kind of does away with this, you know, where are we at in society with male, female, female, male, male? It's like I feel this and feel that. God pretty well began from the very beginning, male and female. When He did that, it didn't mean that the male superseded over that of the female or the female over the male. We were to work cohesively. We were to love each other. We were to work together. Not to be subservient to the male and all of that. God created us equally. So let's take a look. When we look at this word, according to our likeness is in the scriptures, okay? And in the Amplified, and my notes and some of the study Bible commentaries and things that I was looking through, comes up with the same thing. In our likeness, it's not that we are physically made like God. God does not look like this. Aren't you happy? You know, He doesn't look like me. He doesn't really look like you in the flesh, okay? Because He's a spirit. but a spiritual personality and a moral likeness. He created us in his likeness of spirituality and moral abilities of understanding morality. And somewhere, I don't know about you, but I think we've gone off the trail or the tracks of the moralities and the spiritualness of what God really intended us to be representing him. So, it's like, what are you reflecting? What are you reflecting? Can you see yourself? You're pretty. You guys all look good. I don't know how I'm holding it up the wrong way or whatever. I don't know. Some of our eyes are failing. What are you reflecting? What? What? Take a look at your hair real quick. You got to fix it. Fix it. There you go. One, stop right there. Okay. Let me see what I like. Ah! Oh, I just broke the mirror. Can't use it anymore. What are we reflecting? That's what, when we're on this earth and we're serving God and we're in his kingdom on this earth, the kingdom goes wherever I go because the kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God should be in you. His word tells us that. So we're not making up things. We're not making up this to make it sound good. And we're just sharing what God's word says, who we are, and what we're to do. Amen. And we've got to do those things to fulfill his kingdom mandate upon this earth. God is not going to come down here and change things around himself. But he has placed us here to do the changing for him. To where we are the sons and the daughters. That where we have that mandate. He has given us all authority. We look at it to where his word tells us, because God says, I'm not going to come down there and fix this, but we find in the New Testament where his word says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound where? Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Who has to do the binding and the loosening? God or us? We do. And if we fail doing that, the enemy gets to win another day. Now, I was going to say he gets to live for another day, but he's defeated, so his time is drawing to a close. But yet he still has an opportunity today. So that is why God is going to say, I'm not coming back down, guys. I have placed you there in my likeness, reflecting me in this world. Now have dominion and do what? Subdue it. We don't do it under our own power, our own ability. We do it through who? Him in us. Amen. Who's in you? Get out of yourself. You're not that important. But you are important to God because he's placed himself in you by that of the Spirit to say, now be taking dominion and subdue these things that are under your feet. Amen. We've lost that. We've not done enough taking dominion, and we've not subdued enough in this earth. Things have gotten crazier and crazier. But it doesn't mean that we can't go back to that first thing that God told us to do and take dominion. And this is kind of getting me off. That's why this is like when I was working on this, I started working on dominion, and then I started looking into likeness, and I thought maybe we've got to get to the understanding of the likeness of who we are like before we can understand that we can have dominion. Because if you don't know who you are like, you will not have that feeling to think that I can have dominion. Because I'll say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough, I'm not going to amount to anything, I'm a failure. How many here? Oh, I'm a failure. You know, I'm a loser. Loser. I mean, even a loser. I'm not able to. I'll never get ahead. I'm destined to stay where I'm at. Nobody's going to want me. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not whatever. A lot of us are big enough already. We don't have to go there, okay? The world would be a better place without me. Those are all things the enemy is putting into us. Call us and who you are. You're claiming who you are when you say, I'm a failure. You're claiming that you're not worth anything. You are worth everything because why? God sent Jesus, his son, to die for you. He thought enough of you to send his son to die for you. So aren't you of worth? Yes, you've been bought with a price. Hallelujah! We're worth something! But I get tired, just as you, in regards to hearing sometimes people, and in my earlier days, where I would claim some of these things. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. The enemy puts these thoughts into us, and he says, now I want you to speak it out, so when you hear it oratorically and you're hearing it, you begin to believe what you hear. You don't really believe things that you think about. You look at our society today, and we can change, and we can expound upon lie after lie, whether it's coming from the government side, the media side, the Hollywood side, any side. But if we hear it enough, we begin to believe a lie. It's because it's orally or oratorically or whatever going out, coming into these things, coming into my spirit, into my head, and I begin to say, well, it must be true because everybody's talking about it. It must be true because they've been talking about this for the last 8 months, the last 2 years, the last 5 years. It must be true. Do you not know that lies can be talked about for 10 years and still be a lie? So don't let the world name who you are. Like Miles says, the world, the pagans named us Christians when God's word says, you're a son. When my God said that, you're an ambassador. Oh, so this gets your whole thought process going to who we are in Christ is a lot more than we think we are. And we've got to get to that level of understanding. My likeness that I've got is not me. It's my God in heaven that his likeness I've created. How many here have been created in his image? Let the record show every hand went up in the auditorium. Thank God. We don't have any aliens, okay? But God's word will say we're aliens to this place, are a peculiar people. You guys are peculiar. I'm peculiar. Hallelujah. But when we begin to say these things, we begin to believe those things. So, and this is kind of jumping fast from here to here, but I want to get this in. I say, or I've said, I'm unlovable, but God says, I am forever loved. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us. Say that with me. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. Oh, I'm unlovable. How many people here have heard people say, I'm unlovable? And here's the deal. You find out a lot of us don't even love ourselves. Doesn't God's word say, love your neighbor as yourself? Why do we have a lot of fights between neighbors and people in society? Number one is because we don't love ourselves. Not pridefully, not like I'm the greatest and all that. But there's a love of yourself because of who is in me, the love of Christ, that I am loved. And I've got to show that love. So if we don't have love for ourselves, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have love for your neighbor. You're not going to have love for your coworker. And the enemy has done a really good job to put this lie into you and to all of us to say, I'm not loved. I can't love myself. Oh, now if I go to the world and say, I love myself, the world has already called that like, aren't you high on yourself? Aren't you like prideful and all that? It's not that. It's what God's word says. Love thy neighbor as yourself. How about this? Anybody heard this? I'm weak. I can't handle it. I'm weak. But God says what? He makes me strong. Psalms. God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. These are things God's word tells us about who we are and what he is for us. He makes my way perfect. I recognize I'm a sinner. We got a lot of people like to hold on to that. I'm a sinner. God can't love me. Oh, my. But people sometimes glory in their sin. I'm a sinner. Paul said something along that line when he was Saul or Paul and he came to, you know, that eye-opening experience on the road to Damascus. I was the what? Chief a sinner. I was the chief sinner of all. I'm abandoned. But God says I'm adopted. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through who? Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Ephesians 1:5. I'm broken. God says I'm whole. Out of Colossians. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I've been rejected. God's word says, do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have summoned you, you are mine. But I'm alone, God says, he's always with me. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Everything that you can come up with about saying who you are and what the enemy wants to hear out of your mouth, God's got a reference to go back to. Amen? I say that I'm purposeless. I have no use on this earth. I have nothing. But God says that I was created for a purpose. Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. In Esther 4, it talks, perhaps this moment now in time, right now, is why God created you and he put you on this planet starting back in 1932, 1921, 1942, whatever the case, 1950 to the 60s, it's like he placed you here for a purpose and a reason. I failed. Oh, I hear that a lot. God says, I'm victorious in Christ. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, anything else? I'm worried. I'm unhappy. I'm afraid. I'm nothing special. I'm nothing special. Oh, yes, you are. God says this in Psalms, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Oh, wait. I said worthless, and I read the line above it. Let's drop down to below it, okay? As I was reading that, going, well, maybe I did say that. I'm nothing special. How about worthless? For God so loved the world that he brought us his son. So, you know, these are things that that's who we feel that we're reflecting ourselves. And when I look in that mirror, I'm looking back, I'm saying, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I have no abilities, I'm too this, I'm not enough that. When I stepped into ministry, I said, God, I didn't go to school for this. I'm illiterate in that area as far as Greek and Hebrew and all of the stuff about theology and going to a four-year college. But for some reason, he didn't kick me out. He kept eating and taking more of my heart to say, but I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me. Are you ready to serve me? Well, let me go so many years with my company, then I'll retire, and then I'll serve you. So you want to give me your leftovers? No, I don't want to give you my leftovers. I was having wonderful conversations with God. God was having conversations with me. I said, I don't have any knowledge and understanding. I wasn't raised, blah, 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 blah. But then we find these things with God. God is not looking for those that have the talents that they receive from this place on earth. He's looking for those that he can put his talent into, that he can get it through, so that you can go forth and share the gospel and share this message of the kingdom authority. Amen. So, I tried to talk to God a lot about not doing this. Leave me alone, God! But he was dogging me, man. He was dogging me. When I was traveling with my job in the car by myself, he kept speaking into my spirit. It's like, I don't, la, 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 but I had to hold on the steering wheel, so I couldn't, you know. But slowly I changed. Slowly I began to hear more of him. Before that, I began to say, I want more of you, Lord, more than anything else in this world. I want to serve you with everything that I've got, which ain't much on my end. But see, there I am, where I'm reflecting. But yet he says, but what I put in you is what needs to come out. And that's not just for me. That's for everyone that is here today. What God is putting into you in bits and pieces needs to come out sometime along your journey on this earth. And he will let you know. Amen? So in what ways are we made in his image? So, regarding Genesis 1:26, it says, God did not create us exactly like himself due to the fact God has no physical body. So this image that we're talking about is the image of God's glory. Amen? God's glory. Oh, hallelujah. We should be reflecting God's glory to those around us. We could look at parts of this reflection as being what? What are we to reflect? How about our reason? What about our creativity? Wasn't God creative? Created the earth. Oh, look what he did in, you know, 6 days. Created a lot of things. He's put that creativity into us. There's people that have creative minds, right? I mean, it's amazing what some people come up with. We look at the areas of creativity. We can look at those areas of our reason, our speech, our self-determination. These all can be reflections of that of God in us. Our determination, you know, to serve him, to be used by him, to show those around us about him. Amen? It's all about God. Just like Jesus said, everything I say or do, it's only because I've heard or I've seen my Father in heaven. And we too now have that ability through that of the Holy Spirit, speaking into our spirits to where God puts into you what he wants you to do. The thing is, are you catching it? And if you don't catch it the first time, knowing God, he'll bring it around again and again and again. We may want to think on this, that our self, entire self, our complete being is reflecting the image of our Creator, God. Of course, we could never completely be like God because he is what? Our Creator. But we can reflect his character. And this is the character of things of God. By what? By the love that we show. Also in the areas of patience. So we got love and patience, our forgiveness, our kindness, our faithfulness. These are all attributes. These are all things of God the Father. Amen. I mean, I can look at any one of those. I know that he's been patient with me. How about you? I know that he forgave me. How about you? I know in my life he's been very kind to me to take care of me. How about you? Oh, hallelujah. So as I began to look at this, it begins to reflect something that we would be looking at in that of Galatians 5:22. In Galatians 5:22, it's talking about what? The fruit of the Spirit. Those are all fruits of the Spirit that God, we should be reflecting back. Our reflection should be showing these things that God is about because that's what God is about. Amen? Love. We need to reflect love. Joy. How many or how long has it been since you've had a good laugh? Sometimes I laugh at the things that I do more than anything else. It's like, oh boy, Lord. How many here have ever said, Lord, you got a sense of humor? You know, because he does. But the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that when I go back, then God said, let us make man in our image so that they reflect these things into this world. We're not to reflect anger and hostility. We're to reflect the opposite. Everything that is negative and degrading and demoralizing, that is of the devil. The things that build people up, encourage people, get them further along to where God wants them to be, those are the things that God wants us to be able to reflect into this place that he has put us. So please, 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 and I'm not perfect in all these fruits. How about you? But I'm working on it. And sometimes we've got to be pruned. And then get into the other thing about the vine and the dresser there, you know, dressing. And then we get into the gifts, and there's gifts that we get. These are fruits here we're talking about. But you can get into the studies to where there's gifts of God, gifts of Jesus, and gifts of the Holy Spirit when you begin to look at the giftings that come out of those three. But now we're just looking at what we're reflecting, the reflection of what God is about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Knowing that we reflect God's image and we share many of his characteristics should provide us with us having what? Self-worth. We get back to that word, self-worth. I'm so unworthy. And I was until Christ came into my life. Until I turned and surrendered myself over to that of God. And then my worth became not mine, but his in me. It's the vessel of honor. It's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness. See, everything that we're about today in our lives is not because of us. It's because of him in us. We've been created in his image, his likeness, in the spirit realm of the things that he's about, and we need to reflect those things. Our true self-worth is not based on what? See, in the world, we think of self-worth as what's your 401 got in it? What's your IRA got in it? How valuable is your house? What's your self-worth? What's your financial worth in society? We gauge our worth on material things. And that's what the world wants us to do. I believe sometimes, and whether it's the devil or whatever, sometimes it's just the way it is. But sometimes we start comparing ourselves, thinking like, wow, my worldly worth isn't near as much as this brother or that sister's or whatever the case might be. We begin to do a lot of comparisons. And we like to compare ourselves. We go along the line of comparing ourselves even in our Christian walk. How many here, don't raise your hands, but I've compared myself with that person sitting over there in my Christian walk, and I've always found out that I was a lot better than that person over there. Well, it's just my opinion. But it's my opinion because I'm the one thinking of it. Because it's me that's doing the comparison. Now, that person over there is probably looking at me thinking the same thing. Well, I'm a lot better than that guy over there. And it's like, hey, don't you point at me. And so we get this world of what we're doing. We begin to compare ourselves to those around us. And it's like, no. We need to compare ourselves to who? Our God. To Jesus Christ. Am I replicating him? Am I being an example to those around me like Jesus was? Is love, peace, long-suffering, patience, forgiveness, are those things coming out from me to people can see that? Or am I holding back and say, I'll never forgive that person. I can never love that person. I don't have patience for that anymore. Oh, tell on myself as a pastor. I've said that many times at times when people need help all the time. Call the church. So I've got to guard myself. I'm going to tell you, you can get jaded really fast when you deal with people a lot. But we get into this realm of trying to compare ourselves. And all we need to do, and I got to look at this myself. Ew. If nothing else, it's just me then. I'm just going to say, I need to reflect and really look at myself and compare myself to God. I can't be like Jesus to say, hey, I'm not going to say anything unless the Father tells me to open my mouth and say something. You know, we have times where we begin to say, like, I've shared this before, like, I shouldn't say this, but. And any time I tell people that, I said, then stop. Don't go any further. Because I think that's the inward spirit witnessing to saying, what you're going to say next, you're probably going to have to go back to apologize. Or you're going to hurt or offend or do something that's not going to be edifying, lifting, loving. But our self-worth is not based on possessions. It's not based on your achievement, your climb up the ladder of success. These things are all well and good in the world system, but it has nothing to do with that of the kingdom system. Our physical appearance. How about our notoriety? The more people that know me and speak highly of me and all, that gives me self-worth. Look at where I'm at. No, it has nothing to do at all. Our self-worth is not based on us, but it's because we reflect that very image of God. When somebody can come up to you and says, you're a Christian, there's something that's around you, something that they see that you don't maybe see. It's not like we've got a halo above us, but maybe their spirit connects and their spirit kind of, whatever that spiritual realm is, but they could come up and say, you're a Christian. And you would say, generally, yes, you know, I believe in Christ or whatever, you know, I'm a Christian. But that's when you hear that, that's when you're reflecting something a lot greater than this world, amen? And I only had that happen once in my life. And after that, it's never happened. And I don't know if that was God at that point in time when I was still working at my job that he was trying to get through to me about these things. I don't know. But when somebody just out of the blue in a town you're not even from, that you don't even know them from anybody, and they just walk up and tell you that, it's like after they left, you kind of go like, wow. What? I was trying to figure out, what was I doing at that exact time? Can I copy it? But I think it was just God at that time talking to me and reaffirming things. See, God wants to do a lot of things. He will affirm and reaffirm you through other people. And generally, people that are strangers to you. Because those that kind of know you, they might just tell you that just because they know you. Like, oh, you know, aren't you great? Wasn't that message you shared, wasn't that wonderful? And it's like, well, it's like, give God the glory because it's his message. It's his word, not mine. I'm just here as the facilitator. I just want to pass this on. I want to hand it off to you and say, here, what are you reflecting today? Who are you reflecting? Whose image are you in? And then if you can take that and begin to think on it and do some changing and or adjusting in your life, then my assignment was fulfilled. But it wasn't anything grand or grandiose that I've done. It's just sharing God's word. And allowing God to move in his word into your spirit. Amen? We downgrade ourselves, when we speak negative of ourselves, what are we doing? You're actually criticizing the Creator. Why? I'm created in His image, and I'm now saying that I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm this, I'm a low life, I'm whatever the case might be. So you're telling me that God is a low life? You're telling me that God is a nobody? You're telling me that God is not of beauty? So we've got to remember and think on these things when we begin to do these things. But we reflect that very image of God. So when we are criticizing what God has made, we are also criticizing the abilities that He's given us. In the world, and I'm just going to, the world, when I talk of the world, probably I'm thinking of more of the devil, Satan, and his little playground here of the earth, because he's the god of this earth, they say. But when we're in his sandbox, he wants us to do nothing but think of these negative, bad things opposite of whatever God is. Amen? We've heard this thing before. The devil bad, God is good. So when bad things are happening, you know, is it the devil stirring up things? And is it the devil wanting us to stay in the negativity? Is it the devil wanting us to stay down? Because the devil does know this, that if we ever rise up into the power, into the kingdomship of that of God, we're a force to be reckoned with. Amen? And so why would your enemy, the devil, want you to learn who you are in Christ and have that power and the ability to overcome him? Now, he is overcome, he's defeated, but in this realm, he's been released and he's doing his thing. But he does no way want you to learn who you are in God's kingdom. He in no way wants you to take dominion. In no way does the devil want you to subdue these things that God's word tells us to do, because he knows once that's done, he's finished. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah! How many here want the devil finished in your life? Yes! Will he be finished forever? No! He will come back again. And he comes back when you're weak, amen? The devil will never come back when you're strong. He looks for your weakness. He looks for those areas that he can get into and amplify. Oh! Many times. Oh! Now this goes along, and there's parts of it as we get into the Word of Faith that's got some good things, and then sometimes it got kind of out there in left or right field of the claiming and naming and things. But I do believe with the Word of God, when the Word of God says there's power of life and death in this little thing in our mouth that guides the ship, okay, that there are some things that I don't want to proclaim. Guess what? Fall's coming. Flu season's going to come. I'll probably get the flu. You're proclaiming you're going to get the flu before you even get it. Now, it might be a little simple, and you're thinking, well, really? Is it that bad? But I'm just wanting you to think, as we begin to share these things out of our mouth, chances are the enemy hears that, and he goes, well, if you're expecting it, I'm going to make sure you get it. Or I'm going to put somebody around you in a crowd, or whatever the case might be. 2 years back with this COVID thing, my goodness, and it still replicates to today. But it's like it's not near as bad as it was. I'm not even hearing a lot of hospitalizations and all. People get it. It's no different than the influenza now. It's a flu. It's a bug. It's this. It's that. But, you know, we got enough fear into the people still of today that they still live off of what happened like 2 years ago. And so we've got to guard those things. And it's not to say that it's not something you got to be cautious of and guard yourself and do the right responsible things. But we cannot live in fear. Fear. But didn't you say something about that last week? F-E-A-R? False evidence appearing real. Fear. F. False E evidence A appearing R real. The enemy, the devil, wants us to live in fear, because if we can keep our mind on the fear and keep our mind on the things here, we lose sight of him up there or around us here. He's with us. He's not just up there. He's here with us. Amen? But if the enemy can do that, just for a smidgen of a time, just this much, just maybe that much, take your eyes off of that of God, you will go off onto some kind of tangent, and then pretty soon what starts out to be a little itch turns into saying, oh my gosh, it's probably cancer or something like that. And when I looked at this, that one scripture talks about how we're wonderfully made. Knitted together. Woo! How many here are knitted together good? pretty well we all are. I mean, I don't see anybody with a stomach hanging out here and a heart over here. I mean, it's all pretty well where it needs to be, so we're knitted together pretty good. But the other week or so back, a couple of weeks back, I had sliced my finger and was bleeding pretty good. Then I'm looking around after I kind of stopped it, and I held my little bandage on, held it above my head, keep it above your heart, all these good things, you know, ET. Not that I was a paramedic, but I watched Emergency back in the day, you know. Rampart Base, this is Squad 51. Give them ringers DW three times and send an EKG. Okay. But anyway, I digress. But I was a Boy Scout too, so I thought, you know. Anyway, so I plugged it, you know, and held it, and then I tightened it up. And then it was a slice. I could see it was flapping. And but now it's like it's growing back together. It's mending itself. How do you mend a broken heart? Oh, God is a mender, amen? And we look at our natural self, and I go, I hurt myself, God. And God says, it's okay, Tim. I've designed your body. It'll take care of itself if you just do the clean it out so no infection sets in. Let water go in it. Clean it out. Bandage it and let it sit for a few days. And that skin will start going, hey, where have you been? I've not seen you for a while. Oh, welcome back. What? Was that not in your analogy? Okay, so you got some knowledge of this. I think I'm going to write a book, okay? Do you think it'll use it in anatomy class? Like, okay, get that flap to this flap and put your flaps together. But God created us. We have been wonderfully made. We are in His image. What more do we need to know and come to understanding? I look around. I see God in this. I look around, I see God in those pictures that Sarah sent. I look around and see the glory of Him all the time. How about you? I pray about all the mess. I pray about this and this and that. I don't like it. I don't like the things happening in schools, all of these things. But when I pray about those things, I don't want to lose sight of who my Creator is and that He has got this world. Now, we didn't even get there, so let's not even go there because it's now like 5 to 12. So this will be a two-parter probably. But be careful of how we criticize ourselves, because once we criticize ourselves, we're actually criticizing God. And I don't want to criticize my Creator to you. To narrow all this down, our image likely refers to such qualities as reason, personality, intellect, and the capacity to relate, to hear, to see, to speak. All of these characteristics of God which He chose to reproduce in us, mankind. He loves us. He loves us. Hallelujah. Well, I've already shared this because I jumped ahead. And then we'll close with this because I think everybody wants to get out and have lunch. But when we think of the reflection, when we think of those things taking place, I shared about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. We find in John 14:9, and this is where I'll kind of close it down here, because we find our Jesus, hallelujah, our Jesus. Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus! Now, we weren't there at that time, so we didn't see the physicalness of Jesus because Jesus was created. Jesus was the flesh of God coming down to bring us back to that relationship with Him by reconciliation through that of the blood and the cross and forgiveness of the sin. So God put Himself into a fleshly humanoid that came by way of a miracle birth because He was to be sinless. So He couldn't come through man, because man at that time, we were all fallen and bad and sin. So God already had that plan from way back in the Genesis times that He was going to put that seed into a woman and then the seed and that we would have Jesus. But now Jesus is on the earth and He's walking around and He's telling the people there, if you see me, you see me, you see the Father, for I am in His image, for I am Him here now. So They got to see God, but it was in that of Jesus Christ. But here again, Jesus was reflecting God. We, in this realm, are created in His image to reflect His image in the spiritual realm of things of what I've just covered. And so we'll go along a little bit here, and Paul writes some things in Colossians that we'll get into about the images and things. But I just want to encourage you today to know that you were created by the greatest. Amen? It wasn't Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. He might have said, "I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest." No, God is the greatest. We were created by the greatest for the great things to take place on this earth that He created so that we could come and bring His presence here to fulfill what He wants and just continue to go forward, or advancing onward. Onward, Christian souls. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, I hope you're excited today. If not, I am putting little shockers underneath every one of these chairs because I'm taking pictures where everybody sits in about the same chair. So, hallelujah. Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to get these people fired up. Just give me the go-ahead, Lord. Come on, just give me. Just this week, I'll be in prayer. He says, "Okay, Tim, it's time to get the wires out." Okay. There's an outlet right over there. Doug, you can plug it in on Sunday mornings if you're there, okay? Just in there. But I want to be encouraged and encourage you guys. Yeah. And I don't ever want it to be just superficial and it's only good for about 20 minutes and then it's gone. I want to walk this out in my life. And I encourage you to walk this out in your life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, I've got some down days. Yeah, I've got some things that are off. This and that and other. But you go back to the source. You go back to these understandings. You begin to think of who you are in Christ. You begin to think of who's in you and working in you. And it doesn't take long to get built back up again. It might knock me down, but I'm going to get up. Remember, it's not as important as how many times you get knocked down. It's the most important is how many times you get back up. And so we'll all get knocked down to a knee here and there and all that. But get back up. Continue to proclaim the good things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you today for this day. For this is the day that you have made. Lord, we rejoice. We're glad in it. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray right now that it just gets into each one of our spirits and it just begins to take root, Father God, of who we are in you. And that, Father, we are created in your image and in your likeness. Oh, Father, for greater things that you have planned for this place. And so I thank you right now, moving mightily within us. I pray, Lord, that we are able to take that rightful ownership of understanding and who we are in you, and that, Father, we advance your kingdom upon this place. That I, Lord, personally advance your kingdom in my life, in my surroundings, wherever I go to proclaim those things of you, Father God. I love you, Lord. I thank you for not giving up on us. I thank you for having more for us to have and to do. That it's not a time to slow down. It's a time to get stronger. And it's a time to get more active in this kingdom understanding and just serving you here upon this earth and praying for our government and praying for our schools and praying for those in authority over us and praying for your presence to be upon this earth, Lord God, moving in mighty ways and touching hearts and changing hearts. Thank you, Father God. Nothing is too difficult to you or for you. Nothing, Lord, is outside the realm of you, Lord, being able to change a circumstance, change a situation. Hallelujah. And I just pray it now upon each and every one that is here today. Touch them mightily in their spirit, I pray. Go with them this day. Give them encouragement and strength and excitement and joy. Oh, Father God, how we love you. How we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.